Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I am so excited. I have a special guest, Jared Moon, who is joining us. He is the founder of Garage Gym Athlete and several other businesses. He's also an author, so I'm excited for him to tell us a little bit about his book and how that came to fruition. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I love to start off with kind of what was your entrepreneurial journey? I know you have a military background. So how did that background transform into starting multiple businesses?
Yeah, so I originally started in the Air Force in pilot training. So I was flying, training to be a fighter pilot, ended up getting injured and couldn't do that anymore. I didn't care about money. I didn't care about anything. I just wanted to do something fun. The younger version of me was like, I just want to have a fun career. And then after that was taken away from me, I was like, I want to start a business. And the thing I was most passionate about was fitness. And so I started to try and find out how I could start a fitness company. I started like coaching one-on-one. And what I realized really fast was coaches make no money. Just realized I was going to have to go about it a different way. And so that's why I ended up launching online training platforms, carving my own path, kind of doing things different than most people had in my industry. Ultimately, it was passion that led me. That's kind of been like the theme through the selection of everything I've done is passionate about flying. Let's try that. Didn't work. Cool. Passionate about fitness. Let's do that. But never letting passion be like, oh, well, I'm passionate, so I don't have to earn money. It's more like, how can I make as much money as possible while being passionate about what I do?
I love that. I always laugh when people are like, don't follow your passion. There's no money in that. But for me, I've always found when I lean into the passion, it actually attracts more abundance to me because I'm lit up and excited every day for what I get to do and create. And so I think there's always a way to be able to monetize your passion. So I resonate with that so much. Your book is called Killing Comfort, and it's really amazing. I think everybody should grab it that's listening to this. I have just enjoyed it. It's a super easy read, super relatable for entrepreneurs. And there's a story in there about how you started a business and it didn't quite go as planned. And you had a couple of choices of like, you could give up or you could keep going. And that seems to be that persistence and consistency seems to be a theme throughout your life and the stories that you tell in the books. Can you dive in a little bit further to that? And does that come from your military background? Have you always had that? Or what has allowed you to be this super consistent individual?
Kind of answering your questions in reverse, answering the end first is what made me that way. Really, it's just the proof of the actions I've taken. I think my dad taught me how to work hard. I don't think it was necessarily the military background. I have three kids. I talked about that about my oldest son now. He's like, I think I want to join the military because it made you who you are. And I'm like, whoa, bro, I made me who I am, not to sound arrogant or whatever. The military didn't make me who I am. So anyway, that's been like the biggest thing is I've never had something go viral or, you know, just be amazing and like this overnight success. All I've ever known how to do, even in achieving getting some coveted spots in the Air Force and things that I've done is like, it's just been hard work over and over and doing the things that no one else was willing to do. I was always willing to put in that work, mainly because I thought I was always behind. Even in pilot training, the guys I was training with, some of them went to Harvard, MIT, like all this crazy stuff. And I was like, you guys are smarter than me for sure, but you're not going to outwork me. It was that attitude. But then when the proof started to pan out, it was like, oh, wow, if you actually do just continue to put in this effort and this work, something will happen. And I learned that throughout my military career. But then when I transitioned to being an entrepreneur, I had this like massive mindset issue. Entrepreneurship had to be incredibly complicated. That's how I thought. It just has to be so hard. Even though I was doing some of the hardest things you could do in the military, I was like, it's got to be hard. So I overcomplicated everything, had a lot of mindset issues that I had to overcome. But ultimately, I was just sitting around waiting. I was like, well, I'm doing some of the right things. I was like, eventually I'll be successful, I guess, if somebody gives me a break or whatever. I was like, what the hell are you doing? This isn't how you've done anything in your life ever. Why are you applying this weak mindset to entrepreneurship? And once that switch flipped, I've been that way ever since. I've just been like, okay, let's put in the effort. No one's coming to save you. You're not going to get a big break. Nothing's going to go viral. You're just going to have to put in the work and try harder than everyone else, just like you always have. And then I started doing that in entrepreneurship and it started to pan out.
I love that you talk about like staying consistent long enough to get proof as well, because I find even working with entrepreneurs in all stages, whether they're starting up or whether they're scaling, it's like persistence and consistency is always going to lead you to results. But are you willing to do it long enough? Because for most of us in our head, it's like, oh, I just have to do this thing for 30 days and then I'll get 12 new patients. And it's like, that's not really how it works. I just have to get good at managing my money and then I'll have so much of it, it won't matter. Well, the more money you have, the more you have to be better at managing it too. I love the idea of waiting for that proof to show up, not waiting for it, but being consistent long enough so that proof shows up. And also, on the flip side of that, I find those entrepreneurs who lack confidence, maybe they've let themselves down a time or two before and they've been like, okay, well, I tried this thing and it didn't work out. And I tried this marketing thing and it didn't work out. And I tried this sales training and it didn't work out. And it's like, because you keep looking for the next thing instead of just staying super consistent with one thing.
Yeah. And that's what I did, how I leveraged this. I'll do anything and I'll stick to it forever. But that can also be a weakness, because what if you're doing the wrong thing? And that was my biggest fear early in entrepreneurship was, I'll do this. I'll do this every day. I'll do it harder than everybody else. And I'll do it for the next 5 years. But like, what if that doesn't get me results? So how I shortcutted that process was just mentorship. I always tried to have a mentor. And I was like, what do I do? I'll do anything and I'll do it better and faster than anyone you've ever worked with. But like, what do I do? And they would tell me and I'm like, okay, cool. You told me to do it. That's what I'm going to do until it's done. Having that backup mentorship is something every entrepreneur needs. But I think just doing what they say, detach yourself from the outcome. Just put in the work. Don't worry about the patients or, you know, the overall income, anything like that. Just do the work to the best of your ability and eventually things will work.
Yeah, I love that. At what point did you decide it was time to write a book?
Yeah, so I've actually written two. When I transitioned out of the military and I launched Garage Gym Athlete, a lot of people were starting to come into that niche, that garage gym space niche, and it wasn't very big when I started. That was a more of a strategic decision, writing the Garage Gym Athlete. And that was just like, I want to own this niche, so I'm going to write this book. And it really was a series, a collection of like blog posts I had written over the years. I had an editor put it together and then published it. So that was strategic, niche down. I wanted to own the market. But Killing Comfort was more of like my actual book. I sat down to write a book and wanted to produce something awesome. The main reason I wrote it is because I've done a lot of business consulting and I've also done a lot of fitness coaching, and every single person has the same prerequisite problem, right? It's like the killing comfort issue. You can't get over that hump until you can get over that consistency, discipline, killing comfort for long periods of time. You're never going to see any of the results that I'm talking about. I can give you any strategy you want in business and it's not going to work for you if you don't have that killing comfort mentality, especially at the beginning. I really wrote it just to solve the problem of all the people I was working for and try to help more people. But I also wanted to branch out a little bit away from fitness because I had been in that so heavily. And most of the people who've read it, and you said yourself, like it applies to entrepreneurs, it was never written for, hey, here's how you can kill comfort and PR your back squat. It's like, how can you just be more successful? That was a big reason as I wanted to niche out and not only be in the fitness industry.
I love that. I always say comfort is the silent thief. That's probably why my client, shout out to Spencer, sent me the book, because it's very on par with that. If I'm comfortable for too long, I'm not growing. I think our society has programmed us that if you're uncomfortable, something's wrong. Like you're not aligned. You should fix it. Things should just flow. And especially now in today's day and age with all the online coaching and Instagram influencers, it's like, it should just be easy. And I don't necessarily think that that's true. If you were going to talk to somebody who's like, hey man, I'm really trying to grow my business. I just am kind of plateaued. I know I'm the problem. Do you have 3 or 4 tips that I could just really kill my comfort and get outside of my comfort zone so that I could be expanded?
So killing comfort is a double-edged sword, because sometimes people take that mentality of just doing stupid things. If you were like, you know what? I hate keeping my books. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do my books this month because it's killing comfort. You're not benefiting from that. Like, you have to kill the right comfort. That's the most important part of it. Not taking that mentality the wrong way, I think, would be the first piece of advice I'd give anyone. So how that starts is going to be goal setting. It's like really knowing, what do you want? Exercise I walk people through is like, you know, the someday goal. We don't really know where that is, that 10, 15 years, backing up to 5 years, backing down to 3 years, 1 year, down to a quarter, like really reverse engineering every single thing that you want all the way to, okay, what do I need to do this week? And when you have reverse engineered that much, you realize what comfort needs to be killed. Like the next rock, the closest alligator to the boat, whatever you want to call it, you'll find out what comfort needs to be killed based off of your goals. Like I said, picking wrong things and just doing stuff that's basically stupid in the vein that you're killing some sort of comfort, you're not going to make any progress. So set goals, know how to kill comfort correctly, and then get a mentor. That's the biggest thing for me. I'm okay with killing comfort and doing any hard thing, but I have to know that hard thing is going to lead me to the outcome that I want. When I have that mentor who's like, yes, that's what you need to be doing. That, and I'm like, hey, cool. Then I'm just going to double down on that and do that thing. So I think those three things would be the best way to kill comfort for someone looking to grow a stalled business.
I love that. So you mentioned you have three children. How old are they?
I have a 12-year-old, 10-year-old, and 6-year-old. So the two oldest are boys and the youngest is a girl.
Awesome. And how do you navigate running your businesses and then also being a super present dad?
I mean, that has been the number one focus for me ever since I became an entrepreneur, is always making sure that I am here, like I'm a present father. It has been a challenge. I think early on, it was harder. It was a lot harder. There's a certain point at the beginning where you just really have to put in a lot of hours and a lot of work to get something off the ground. But it does get significantly easier as time gets on. I don't know if it gets easier or you just get better.
You get better, yeah.
Yeah. It feels easier, but you just have the skill sets that are required. So luckily, I would say, luckily, not luckily, when I was in that transition, two of my kids were born while I was in the military, and my third, my daughter, was born when I got out of the military. They were all very young when I was in that phase. So probably not the best dad in the world during the infant stage. I tried to help as much as I can, but that was like 98% on my wife, and I love her for it. But ever since we've made it over that initial hump of what it took to get my businesses off the ground, being there for them is my number one thing. How do I balance it? It's just, I say no to a lot. That's what it comes down to. A lot of people wanted me to speak and travel for different things. I said no to a lot of opportunities. I've said no to so many different things. If I can't go to a kid's football game, football practice, if I can't be there at some assembly they have at school, those are all no-goes for me. So it takes a lot of discipline in saying no. And the more successful you get, the more opportunities that pop up. And so it becomes even harder to say no, but you have to really know, what are you here for? They're the only reasons I'm here. No reason I'm doing any of it. It's discipline like anything else, but it's discipline in saying no and prioritizing your time.
Yes. And when you look at prioritizing your time, how is your typical day structured? Are you hitting the gym first thing in the morning and then you're going to batch content? When are you finding time to work with your mentors or consume content that's going to benefit you versus like client delivery versus family time?
Yeah. So how my schedule works right now and has for a while, I do buffer days and focus days. Mondays and Fridays are my buffer days. So buffer days, I will take meetings, I will delegate, I'll consume content, really no focus tasks. None of those tasks are truly moving the business forward, right? It's all the things that need to get done, but they're not necessarily that great. I'd love to have one buffer day a week or zero at some point. But right now, two seems to be the sweet spot with having business partners and everything else and meetings that are required. And then the other 3 days are basically white space on my calendar. There's nothing ever on those days except for focused work. Now, as far as how I structure the days, typically, yeah, I'm working out in the morning, probably around 7:30, something like that, after I've spent some time with my kids in the morning. And then as soon as that workout's over, it's basically work. I probably stop working around 3:30, something like that. I've just very disciplined and ruthless with what gets on my calendar. Mm-hmm. I don't let a lot of things on my calendar, and that's taken a lot of time, effort, and iterations of productivity and time management. That's basically how I do it. So those 3 days, it could be content, it could be this podcast, it could be anything that was beneficial to building personal brands, building companies, things like that. And that goes back to what goals I've set and what I need to be working on for the team.
Yeah, I love that. Monday and Friday, I call my flex days because that's when I definitely will take more meetings. And then throughout the week is more intentional work for sure. I love that you mention your focus time and saying no to things. Like, I'm a yes girl. I will say yes to a lot of things. And I'm realizing as I'm entering this next stage and we want to grow our family and we want to start these other businesses, we're really going to have to be intentional with saying no to more things that don't feel like a complete hell yes. And also during the focus time, I find that most entrepreneurs that I talk to, they're ending their workday earlier than you think they are. For me, I know my brain does not work past 3 p.m.
That's right.
I have to do something, you know, whether it's hanging out with my son or cooking dinner or getting ready for the next day. But I'm like, if it's intentional work, it has to happen before 3 p.m. because that's when I feel like I have the most brain power.
Yeah, 100%. When I was really trying to get things off the ground, maybe because I was younger, I could work nights, do that kind of stuff. I can't at all anymore. It's not even worth it. I haven't had an opportunity or situation where I've been required, but there have been a few times over the last few years where something popped up and I'm like, oh, I'll just knock it out in the evening. Maybe my kids are like at the grandparents' house or something and Emily's with a friend. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just try to knock out some work. And I'm like, my brain's just not even working. I really have to optimize around my energy. Just like you're saying is like, when am I most productive? When can I get something done? And you know, this is a big transition for us right now. That's why I was stumbling on what my schedule is because my kids actually just transitioned to homeschooling. And so that's actually changing my schedule quite a bit, but we're only about a week in. I'm actually going to be starting my workday way earlier because I wake up early anyway.
Yeah.
Take a break, work out, and then work a little bit longer, but I'll be done way earlier in the day so I can support what we're trying to do with our kids.
I love that. I know lots of successful people who homeschool their children. That's a topic when our son gets old enough. We're like, are we going to do it? Are we not? We're playing around with the idea. So I'm excited to hear how that goes for you. As we wrap up here, is there anything that you want to share with people who are maybe feeling stuck in building a business that you haven't said already? Is there any little piece of advice that you could share with them that maybe will unlock something for them?
I think you have a lot of people who listen to your podcast, and I listened to several of your podcasts in preparation for being on your podcast. And so the only thing I'm going to tell people is to listen to Stephanie. What I've noticed and pulled from your content is you do talk a lot about mindset and abundance and all of these great things, that those things are not talked about enough. And a lot of people brush them off because there's a whole side and can of worms we could open about how much of a struggle my entrepreneurial journey was at the beginning because of scarcity mindset, because of my unwillingness to grow in those different directions. And I battled with that for probably the first 3 years. I've been an entrepreneur for about 12, 13 years now. The first 3 years was just a battle and it was just mindset. I do think even if people are hearing what you're saying, because I've coached some of the same stuff to people, they're like, yeah, that's great, but what's the strategy? Yeah, no, that's the thing.
Yep.
So the biggest lesson I've learned is 100% that. Like your business can't outgrow your personal development, your personal growth. If you ever feel like you're just 100% stuck, go work on yourself some way, shape, or form and continue to do that. And eventually your business will grow, but your business is not going to grow because of a new marketing campaign or CRM or anything like that. Your business is going to grow because you've grown as a person. So if you're not working on that, start working on it and listen to Stephanie.
I love it. It's so true. I can't tell you how many times people are like, okay, but what's about the strategy? And I'm like, your strategy is not going to fix how shit your mindset is. I don't care what level you're at. Like, it is not possible. Where can everyone connect with you?
Yeah, the easiest place would be my website. So jerred.com, jerred.com. Or if you like podcasts, I have a podcast called the Better Human Business Podcast. Great place to check things out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey there, do you struggle with using multiple softwares to run your office? Well, I have the perfect solution for you. Genesis Chiropractic Software by Clinic Mind. This all-in-one system and billing service is cloud-based and designed by chiropractors for chiropractors. Its automated workflows streamline every aspect of your practice, from efficient billing processes that increase your collections to easy-to-use dashboards and retention tools that will keep your patients compliant with your care recommendations. We all know it's not just about getting more new patients, but also keeping the ones you do have happy. If you're interested in improving your office with a proven platform that works and want things to stop falling through the cracks, check them out at genesischiropracticsoftware.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.